Okay. Righto. Let's recording's on, everything's on. Let's make a start. Welcome if you're in the Hindu church. Welcome if you're in the Lockhart church. Welcome if you're online. Technology is a wonderful thing. You can be in different spots and gather together to worship the Lord. Let me start with a reading from Isaiah chapter 12. It says, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Well, if you're in the church, you won't be able to do much singing this morning. Won't be able to do much singing because of the restrictions, but if you're online, you're allowed to sing as much as you like. So let's do that. Our first song this morning is that well-known hymn, Tell Out My Soul. So I'm going to flick over to Amy and...
Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice tender to me. The promise of his word, in God my Savior shall my heart rejoice. His arm has done, his mercy sure, from age to age the same, his holy name, the Lord, the mighty one. Tell out my soul.
Okay, our first Bible reading this morning comes from Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, Isaiah 5, 1 to 7. If you're in the Lockhart Church, we're on page 486. If you're in the Henty Church, we're on 689. And Neil's going to read it for us. Thanks, Neil.
The Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can always come to you and give you our praise and our thanks. We thank you we can always come to you. And Father, you hear our prayer, that you delight in the prayers of your children. We thank you for every day that you give us. Father, every day we have on this earth is given to us by you, the King, the Lord of the universe. And so, Father, every day we give you thanks. We thank you for your mercies, which are new and fresh every morning. We thank you for the blessings that we receive through you, through the blessings of rest, the blessings of shelter and food and family and friendships. But Lord, this morning we thank you for all the blessings that we receive through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him that you have forgiven us of our sin, that in him we have been adopted into your family, that in him you have given us your Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And we thank you that in him we have an inheritance which can never perish, spoil, or fade. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we do come to confess our sins to you. Father, you know our actions, you know our behaviors, you know the things that we've done this week, but also the things that we have not done. Father, we realize that our sins are many, but so is your mercy and grace to us. And so, Father, we rejoice in your grace that you constantly pour into our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might continue to change us and mold us to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that each day we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Father, that you would continue to convict us of our sin, convict us of the areas that we need to change, and give us the strength to make those changes in our lives so that you might be glorified and honored in all that we do. For we pray and ask these things this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, just have a few announcements for this week. So this week is the General Assembly of New South Wales. It's where all the churches come together and the nomination sets policy for the coming year. This year it's going to be online, which is going to be a bit tricky, but myself and Andrew will be representing our parish, and we'd really appreciate your prayers. There's a lot of good issues for discussion scheduled for this week, so your prayers would be appreciated. On Tuesday night, women's Bible study online, 7:30. You can just log online. Amy's the person to see if you want some details about that. Men's Bible study, we're going at 7:30 on Thursday. We had a great time looking at Jeremiah 5 and 6, even though it was depressing at points. There was a lot of good stuff and a lot of hope that God shows his people. So we're studying Jeremiah. You'll just log online. We'll send out an email Thursday, 7:30. On Saturday, that's this coming Saturday, we have our regular prayer meeting online from 8 to 9. We just log on and we just pray. And it's always good to pray. There's plenty of things to be praying about. We'll send out the details during the week. But that's on Saturday online from 8 till 9 a.m. Now, I spoke to Grenville yesterday. He said to me it's still all systems go for the men's camp down at Yakandanda. There's obviously some things we need to get over, but at the moment we're still planning to have the camp. The bookings will open not Monday, it's the following Monday if you're interested in going. So don't scrub it out of your diary. It's still planning to go ahead this year, 16th, 18th of July, Friday to Sunday. But please watch this space because obviously with the restrictions, it's a moving feast. But at this stage, it's all systems go for the camp and see Grenville if you're interested in that. If the restrictions change during the week, so obviously the restrictions at the moment finish on Friday, we'll let you know about any changes in the restrictions. So it'd be good to pray that some of the restrictions we have are actually lifted. And that means we can go sort of back to normal church. So that's something to be praying about throughout the week. The other thing too is at the back of the church in Lockhart and Henty, there's a little box if you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the Lord. That would be a good spot to put your contribution. If you're online and would like to give, you can give electronically and the details are in the email that Amy sends out. Okay, kids talk time. I've got two kids sitting in front of me down the front here in Henty. So if you're online, kids, just watch the screen and go with it. All right. Okay, I'm going to show you four pictures. Okay, here's the first picture. First picture is a, no, not quite, it's a vineyard. Thank you, someone. Thank you, big kid in the background there. It's a vineyard. Next one. Yep, so graveyard or death. Yep. Next picture. Stone, a stone and a rock. And the fourth picture is close. Yeah, starts with S. No, not small, shorter. Sun, okay, sun. So we have a vineyard, death, stone, and a sun. Any idea how all those four pictures are linked together? How are all those four pictures linked together? I think I better tell you the answer. Let's go with the answer. It's a story in the Bible. Jesus tells a story about a vineyard, and about a stone, and about death, and about a sun, and it's a parable in the Bible. Next slide. Now, in this parable, the vineyard represents God's people, okay? And in the Old Testament, which we just read about in Isaiah chapter 5, God's people, or Israel is known as God's people, are described as a vineyard. Okay, next slide. Now the other three pictures Jesus uses to talk about, next one, Amy, himself. So Jesus in this story talks about himself being a stone, he talks about himself being a son, and he talks about himself who's going to die. That's right. Okay. Next slide. So it's actually a story all about, even though we had those four images, the vineyard and the sun and the stones, it's actually a story all about, who is it? It's about Jesus. Okay. Next one. And it's really a story about whether God's people are going to reject Jesus and reject him as their king. And if they do that, as we've been learning, they will be, next one, Amy, they'll be punished. If God's people reject Jesus, they will be punished, okay? But, next slide, if God's people accept Jesus as their king, okay, if they take Jesus to be their king and their savior, which is what they need, then they will receive eternal life. Life with God forever. So Jesus tells us this story to say to God's people, look, Are you going to accept my son, the Lord Jesus? Or are you going to reject my son, the Lord Jesus? Next one, Amy. And that's the question for all of us, isn't it? It's the question we face all the time. Are we going to accept Jesus and receive eternal life? Or are we going to reject Jesus and receive punishment for our disobedience to him as king? And we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we read the parable a bit later on. But in the meantime, Neil's going to lead us in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession this morning. Thanks, Neil.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, you're the one who is holy and righteous in your person and in all of your actions. You're the just judge of all of the earth. You see not only the outward actions, but you see and judge our motives and the desires of our hearts. We come this morning to offer you our heartfelt praise for the purity of your being and the adjustment of your judgments, to seek your mercy in the face of our sins and many shameful acts. Father, we often complain about our circumstances and the inconveniences of our daily lives. We fail to see that our lives in the light of your glory and your honour. In our arrogance and our ignorance of the circumstances of our brothers and sisters in other lands, we think of ourselves as badly done by. Forgive us for our grizzling and complaining. Give us a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. For you've blessed us greatly with stability in our nation and freedom to associate and to worship. Freedom to choose you as our God and to worship you according to our conscience. You have blessed us with a land that provides abundant food for us with its many natural resources. Grant us grace and wisdom to use these with wisdom and compassion. Our Father, we pray for all whom you have called to be a witness to the truth of your word, especially those you have called to preach and to teach. May we appreciate that this frequently comes with a great burden, the burden of responsibility to truly represent you in all that they do, but especially in handling your word with integrity and courage, in living a life of compassion towards your people. We pray for those who are making your word available in a form that is accessible to those who need it, especially for Yusuf and Vivian Kunda, who are working with Global Recording Network Australia as they work on Elko Island in the Northern Territory, that good progress may be made in their recording projects and for their plans to return to Africa in 2022. Our Father, we pray for the leaders of our state and nation. Grant them wisdom, courage, and humility in the exercise of their roles. We pray once more for ourselves for humility and grace, a spirit of forgiveness and forbearance towards each other. We pray for those who bear a burden greater than which we commonly bear. May they know the joys of your presence in the midst of every trial. We pray for the sick and the sorrowing, for your comfort and consolation. For those who are young in years and in faith, that they may be kept from the allurements of this world. And for those more mature in years, that they may not flag in zeal, but ever be ready to serve you and encourage those of more tender years and faith. These are prayers and the unspoken longings of our hearts we bring to you in the name of your Son, our Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we look at God's word, our song is Speak, O Lord. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number 25. Speak, O Lord, is really a prayer that God would speak to us through his word to us. So if you're in the church as we sing this, obviously you can't sing out aloud, but be good to pray it in a sense. And obviously if you're online, you can sing as loud as you like. So speak, O Lord. Passage for this morning is Luke chapter 20, verses 9 to 19. Luke chapter 20, 9 to 19, page number 744 if you're in the Lockhart Church, 1055 if you're in the Henty Church, and I believe Jenny or Neil's, one of them, is going to read it for us. Thanks, guys.
Yep, that's correct. It's actually me. So Luke 20 from verse 9. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it out to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people.
Let me pray for us. Father, we do pray that you continue to speak until your church is built. And we pray this morning that as we look at this parable, that we too would be confronted by it, that we might be challenged and changed and take your word to heart, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when Amy and I were coming to Henty, we needed to organise to have our unit in Sydney to be rented out. And when the agent came around, one of the first questions he asked me was whether we actually owned the unit. Now, I thought it was a really strange question, yet the agent said that that was actually now a standard question, because there was a case in Western Australia where the tenants didn't like the owner and engaged a real estate agent to sell the property on their behalf, which somehow got through the system and meant that the property was sold without the owners even knowing about it. Now, if you watch A Current Affair on the TV, you see that type of story all the time. The tenants from hell who wrecked the joint, who cost the owners thousands of dollars, leaving a mess and leaving damage everywhere. Tenants who have zero regard for the owners and in a lot of cases for the law. Now, such a behavior is not unique in our time, because in our passage today, Jesus tells us a parable known to many as the parable of the wicked tenants. It's a story about some really bad tenants. But as always with Jesus' parable, there's much, much more going on. Now, as we've learned over the last couple of weeks, Jesus has been on this journey to Jerusalem, and in chapter 19, he finally arrives, only to weep over the city. Israel's king has come, but they'd missed the hour of his visitation. And last week, we looked at the response of the religious leaders. It was to try and kill Jesus initially, to try and have him removed. And when that didn't work, because the people were hanging off everything he said, their approach moved to try and question his authority. But Jesus was too smart for them. The religious heavies were trying to get out of Jesus by what authority he was doing these things, but Jesus wouldn't give them a direct answer. Instead, he put them in a very uncomfortable position. Luke then in verse 9 says that Jesus told the people a parable. There's a crowd who are actively listening to everything Jesus said. So Jesus tells this earthly story with a very deep and rich heavenly meaning. And eventually, as verse 19 tells us, the religious leaders had worked out that Jesus was actually speaking the parable against them, but only after they became enraged during the parable. Now, that's always what happens with parables. They're great stories, and they draw you in, and then suddenly there's this significant twist. It's like a firecracker that goes off. Parables are designed to provoke a response, and this one certainly did. So let's look at the parable together, beginning at verse 9. We're told that a man planted a vineyard, he rented to some farmers, and he went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some fruit of the vineyard. Now, straight away, that would have got everybody's attention. Not because Jesus was talking about a vineyard and the people were very interested in wine. Instead, Jesus employed an imagery everyone would have understood. A vineyard in the Old Testament represented Israel, God's chosen people. Now, we see that in passages such as Psalm 80 or Ezekiel 19, but the most famous is the Song of the Vineyard, which is our Old Testament reading this morning, Isaiah 5. And in verse 7 of Isaiah 5, we read that the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. So when the parable opens, it makes a lot of sense then of Isaiah 7 verse 1. Where Isaiah says, I will sing of the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard, a fertile hillside. He dug it, he cleared it of the stones, he planted it with the choicest of vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. God had chosen Israel to be his special people. He'd given them this great land to live in. The religious leaders in charge are the religious leaders who are in charge. They're the ones in this parable who are the tenants. God had given his people the law. He told them how he wanted them to live. He wanted them to live as a light to the nations. He wanted them to produce fruit of holiness and godliness by walking in his ways. And he left the religious leaders in charge, expecting them to do a good job. But the context of this parable is that they're doing a bad job. Let's read on in the parable. Verse 10. Harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, so he'd give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one they beat and treated shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Now, one of the things that struck me in this is how gracious the owner of the vineyard actually is. Now, if you talk to tenants today, the common complaint is something along the lines of, well, the landlord doesn't respond to my calls to fix the plumbing, but when I'm late for the rent, he's there on the doorstep in no time flat. That's what you hear from tenants. Any tenant knows that you need to pay your rent on time or else you are in trouble. The tenants should have known that they would need to give some of the fruit of the vineyard to the owner. Even then, the owner could have demanded all of the fruit of the vineyard, but he only asked for some. And even after they beat the first tenant and sent him away, the owner didn't send in the heavies to give the tenants the boot out of the vineyard. Instead, he sent another servant. Now, how gracious is the owner in doing that? And even after that servant was treated shamefully, he still sent another servant. How much does the owner show to these wicked tenants? How many chances do they need to do the right thing? How many chances does God give us in his grace, even when we ignore him? Now, of course, in the history of Israel, it's not hard to work out who the servants were. They were the prophets. They were God's spokespeople sent to call people back to himself through repentance. And Israel, they had a terrible history when it came to the prophets. A lot of the time they were stiff-necked and they wouldn't listen to them. Jeremiah prophesied for 40 years and they wouldn't listen to him. And then they persecuted a number of them. Jeremiah, he ended up in a well. Zechariah was stoned to death near the altar. Elijah was driven into the wilderness, and one of the last prophets, John the Baptist, he was beheaded. So why did they treat the prophets this way? Well, because they wanted the bounty for themselves, didn't they? They wanted the fruits of the vineyard to enjoy. They wanted control of the vineyard. So anyone who comes along who was a threat to that, a threat to profitability, well, they had to be removed, didn't they? Now, nothing much had changed. They wanted to get rid of Jesus for the same reasons as we saw last week. Now, as I said at the start, parables always have these twists. And what we read next in the story is absolutely shocking. Verse 13. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over and said, "This is the heir." They said, "Let's kill him and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. So in desperation, the owner of the vineyard, he sends his only son in the hope of getting a result. But it was not to be. The owner's son went the same way as the other servants. Now that's probably not surprising given their track record. But what is surprising is the logic of the tenants. If we kill him, we will get the inheritance. Since when? Firstly, they have no right or claim on the inheritance anyway, because they don't own the vineyard. And secondly, they would not receive the inheritance for murder. They'd be locked up for the rest of their lives. They'd never get to enjoy it. What were they thinking? So what then is the owner of the vineyard to do? Well, God foreshadows what he will do in Isaiah 5, verse 4. "What more could be done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I look for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I'll break down its wall and it will be trampled. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and the briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it." Or in the words of the parable, "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others." What else can the owner do? And as I said, Amy and I have rented out our unit in Sydney, and we want to be good landlords. We've tried to be generous where we can. We try to make sure things are followed up and done in a timely manner. But if any tenant turns into a bad tenant, then there will come a point where we'll have to give them the boot. It's the only option. You cannot let that kind of behavior go on. That's what Jesus is saying in the parable to the religious leaders. You're in danger of missing out because of your bad behavior. And that provoked a vicious response. May it never be. The phrase used, Paul uses a lot in his letters. "Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound?" May it never be, says Paul. May this never be, they said. May it never be we kill the son of the vineyard's owner. So why does verse 47 of chapter 19 say the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him? The him being Jesus. Really? Why in a few chapters' time are we going to see the death of Jesus? Jesus is really pointed. And it's seen in the remarks that comes next. Verse 17, Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "What is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." It's another brilliant move by Jesus. Go back to the Old Testament scriptures, which show that Jesus will have his authority rejected and there will be judgment on those who reject him. Jesus quotes an Old Testament passage, which shows that he alone is this stone. The first is from Psalm 118. And you may remember that Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the people cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Now that comes from Psalm 118. But in verse 22 and following in that psalm, the words that Jesus quoted, verse 22, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, the context of Psalm 118 is it describes a rejected nation and king before other nations. And this psalm goes on to assure those rejected that they have an exalted position before God. In the same way as Jesus, the beloved Son of God, is rejected by the nation, but accepted by God as having a place of honor. And that's where this image of the capstone or cornerstone comes in. In 1 Kings 5, we read about the construction of the temple under Solomon and how a quality stone was cut from the quarry and then chiseled to provide this foundation stone. Now, tradition tells us that one large stone turned out to be the wrong size and shape when it was delivered, and so they actually set it aside. It is the stone that the builders rejected. It's a bit like that John West ad, the tuner that John West rejects. Anyway, to everybody's surprise, it turned out later to be exactly the right size and shape, and it became the cornerstone or the capstone, the keystone at the corner which squared the building. The rejected stone, Jesus, was about to become the murdered son in the parable. But this stone that was about to be rejected was about to become the cornerstone. The stone would be rejected at the cross, but become the cornerstone for resurrection life. The religious leaders were so blind that they could not see that Jesus is the cornerstone of salvation. It's no wonder Jesus said in verse 18, "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." Jesus is pretty clear because he has all authority. He's the judgment stone for every person, culture, nation, and history. And whether you fall on him or he falls on you, the result will be the same, judgment and destruction. And sadly, too many people stumble over Jesus and his claims. Too many people are and will be broken by Jesus and his claims. But it doesn't have to be this way. If we fall over him, it will bring destruction. But if we fall before him, if we humble ourselves before him, if we place our faith and trust in him, we will rise with him to be with him for all eternity. So, did the religious leaders get the message? Oh, you bet they did. They understood the implications. They knew it threatened their hold on the vineyard. They got it all right, but tragically, they didn't believe it for one second. And instead, they set themselves up to fulfill the very words of the parable to the letter, to throw Jesus out of the vineyard and to kill him. The danger for us is we sit back and we go, yep, Pharisees and religious leaders, they're blind. We'll never be like them. But we need to remember that we are tenants in a larger original garden that God owns. He's been generous. He's been gracious towards us. He allows us to keep some of the fruit of the vine, but asks us in return to honor him and to thank him. But instead of giving God our allegiance, we engage in the power play, don't we? We want to keep God at a distance so we can get on with life without any restraints. And that is effectively to reject the Son as well. But praise be to God for his amazing grace, who put his Son to death so that we can be forgiven. It's no wonder Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Indeed, the God of all grace, as Jude says, is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, and power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you that you have placed us in your garden and that you graciously allow us to live there and to enjoy the blessing of life, to enjoy the fruit of the vineyard. But Lord, so often as we read in this parable, we want to push you out and we want to take control of the vineyard. Heavenly Father, may we indeed humble ourselves before you. May we not fall and stumble over the claims of Jesus, but Father, see him for who he is, that he is King and ruler of this world. Father, we pray this morning for those who we know on whom the stone of judgment will fall. Father, people in the parable who rather see your son dead than alive. Father, we pray that you would convict them of their folly. Convict them of their foolishness, to help them to see the danger that they are in. And we pray that we might be good servants and faithful servants in warning people. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We aim to close this morning by singing Psalm 75. If you're on the songbook, we're on page 77. Psalm 75 is an interesting psalm because it talks a lot about judgment. So as we go through this, really think about the judgment aspect that comes through in this psalm, but also the grace of God that he has actually reached out to us to rescue us and to deliver us, which is why this psalm starts, "We give you thanks, O God, we give you thanks, for your name is near and men tell of your wonderful deeds." Psalm 75.
For your name is near, we recount your wondrous deeds. At the time you set the appointed time, you will judge with equity. You will judge with equity. When the whole earth quakes and all those therein, all its pillars God holds firm. Let the proud not boast, don't raise up your horn. Do not speak with haughty words. Do not speak with haughty words. Not from east nor west, nor from wilderness, is the lifting up of man. Down, God alone is judge. It is he who raises up. It is he who raises up. For in Yahweh's hand is a cup of wine. It is foaming and well mixed. As he pours it out, all the wicked shall drain it down unto the dregs. Drain it down unto the dregs. Ever I'll proclaim, I will sing his praise. God of Jacob, judge of all. He'll cut off the strength of the wicked ones, but the righteous he'll exalt. Yes, the righteous he'll exalt. Ever I'll proclaim, I'll sing his praise. God of Jacob, judge of all. God of Jacob, judge of all.
If you're in the church in Henty, we're going to have some morning tea over in the hall. Thank you for those who came down the church and for doing the right thing and masking up. We'll let you know what's going to happen with next Sunday with the restrictions during the week. Let me close with just thinking about our parable from this morning. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." And Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go forth to love and serve the Lord this week.